You are listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a Bible passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give you a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Brenda Crosston. She is my wife. She is an author. She is the leader of the women's ministry at the Mount Gilead Missionary Baptist Church in Nashville and a teacher. So hello, Brenda.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Great, great, great. And glad to have you joining us on today. Come on and get us into this lesson.
All right. So today we're talking about the death of Jesus. It is important in the life of the believer to hold on to as a core truth. Number one, it is the reason why we're forgiven of our sins. Number two, it's an incredible act of sacrifice. It leads us into being sacrificial beings on behalf of Christ. So it's just an exciting, exciting lesson.
All right. So our point is that forgiveness is possible because Jesus died for our sin. So this really picks us up right as we left off last week. Last week, we talked about the nature of sin and ended with the idea that it was impossible for us to do anything about it. So let's get into this scripture, John chapter 19, first verses 8 through 11. When Pilate heard this statement, he was more afraid than ever. He went back into the headquarters and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus did not give him an answer. So Pilate said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you? You would have no authority over me at all," Jesus answered him, "if it hadn't been given you from above. This is why the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." And so here it is. So our first point discussing the death of Jesus is this: God controlled Jesus's arrest. So there it is, that Jesus was not overpowered. So in the scripture, Jesus and the disciples had gone to the garden. They have gone and had the Last Supper. Then they went right outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. There's a little garden at the foot of the hill called Gethsemane. And Jesus was praying. While Jesus was praying, some soldiers came and they arrested Jesus and they took him before Pilate. And so they arrested Jesus in his prayer time. But what's the point of this point? God controlled Jesus's arrest. What are you thinking about that, Brenda?
Oh, you know, I'm all about the practical application, and this gets me really excited. So here Jesus is informing Pilate, very politely, by the way, that you don't have any power over me. It's been given to you. And the practical application here is that sin doesn't have any power over us. So here we can think about Pilate as representing the sinful things and the evil workers of iniquity that are around us every day. And sometimes we get overwhelmed with fear, you know, situations that are happening around us, those who are in authority that may not have our best interest at heart. We sometimes fear that they have the power to do us in. This is a reminder to us as believers that any power that any authority has over us is only given by God, and it is not in their hands to have the final say so. So we talked about sin and death last week and how it comes from things that we lust after. This is a reinforcement of the idea of what we can do to sin. We can omit it from our lives. We have power. It does not control us. God has given us dominion over everything. We see that in the beginning, back in Genesis. So I just thought that this was a very, very wonderful application for our lives, that whatever arrests us, does not have control over us. God has the final say-so in it all.
Right. So nothing was out of Jesus's control in this moment. He was taken from his prayer time. Yes, he was taken to prison. Yes, he was taken before Pilate, but he was not out of control. And that's what he tries to let Pilate know right there. You would not have any authority over me at all if it had not been given to you from above. So what happens next? Jesus suffered for us. Jesus suffered for us. And so let me read these next verses, 16 through 18. Then they took Jesus away, carrying the cross by himself. He went out to what is called Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side with Jesus in the middle. So he was certainly in the middle of something right here. But he was crucified for us. So just keep in mind, Jesus never did anything wrong. Jesus never sinned. He is the only one that has lived a perfect, sinful life. And so when Jesus suffered, he didn't suffer for his sin like we suffer for ours. He suffered for us. And that's a great thing. What do you think, Brenda?
So the text says they crucified him, and that it doesn't, for me, paint the picture, right? So I did some research, and it said that the amount of abuse that his body suffered, his heart probably exploded, and that burst of water that came running from his side when the soldier pierced him in his side was probably the fluid from his burst heart. That's how much Jesus suffered so that you and I could have eternal life. That's amazing. And it also calls us to the carpet. We have gotten so much from Jesus, but we find it hard to sacrifice our desires and hopes and dreams for him when he did something so amazing for us. And the second thing is where he was positioned. So he was positioned between these two thieves. One who just wanted to be excused of his sins without any repentance. And the other who recognized Jesus as who he was and asked for forgiveness. And it kind of makes you think, like, you know, which one am I? You know, Jesus is sandwiched between unrepentance and repentance. Which one am I? Am I willing to repent of my sins and sacrifice, or do I just want to be excused of my sins and saved?
All right. Yes. So this is really, really something for us to think about. Verse number four, before our text, Pilate makes an assessment and he says, I find no fault or no grounds to crucify this man. And so Pilate himself knew Jesus was innocent, and yet he suffered and died for our sins. The whip that the soldiers had, the thorn on his brow, the spear that pierced his side, the nails in his hands, and they mocked him until he died. But he did all of that for us. Sin has a penalty. And in God's sight, the penalty has to be paid. And the Bible lets us know that God took the weight and penalty of all of our wrongdoing and placed it on Jesus Christ as he died on the cross. So that brings us to our third point that says that Jesus died for our sins. Let me read verses 28 through 30. After this, when Jesus knew that everything was now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I'm thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was sitting there, so they fixed a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. Then, bowing his head, he gave up the Spirit. So Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for yours, for mine, for everybody's. And what a terrible death it was. What are you thinking here, Brenda?
So what I'm thinking is, this takes me back to Genesis 1. On the last day of the creation, God rested. And what we see here in Jesus' death is the manifest completion of all that God began at the beginning of creation. Does that make sense? Like, it's so hard for me to articulate that when God created during those 6 days, everything that we are seeing here in the 19th chapter of John was included. It was yet, but not yet. And here is the physical manifestation of God's rest, right? God rested because he knew that this moment was coming where he was going to have stepped into humanity, put on fleshly robes, and finish this whole thing. So for everybody who's thinking that what's happening in this world right now is out of control, no, 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 no. When Jesus muttered, "It's finished," everything that he determined to be so from the beginning of time until the end of time will happen. And God will come back and rectify all situations, sinful situations that seem out of control.
Right. So Romans 8 and 29 reminds us that God had predestined this way of salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says that he chose us before he laid the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, 19 and 20 says that he had already planned all of this before he laid the foundation of the world. Revelation 1, 13 and 8. Revelation 13 and 8 says that he was the Lamb, which is Jesus, was slain before the foundation of the world. And so in the mind of God, everything that was needed to accomplish our salvation, he actually completed before he laid the foundation of the world. So nothing happened by accident. Things did not get out of God's control. They simply went according to his divine plan. And we get to see that here, even now, when Jesus says, "It is finished." And we'd be scratching our heads saying, "What is it?" Well, it is God's divine plan to bring mankind back into a personal, living, powerful relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. And that just reminds me to mention for somebody who might be listening today that you too can have a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible simply says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You can have that salvation and relationship and forgiveness of sin from God through Jesus Christ even today. So this is a great study and a great lesson for us to think about, that we don't have to live in the burden of sin every single day. God takes it all away. And so we're grateful that you joined us today. And if you're a teacher, I want you to hold on just a moment, because Brenda's going to give us a nice 1 minute teaching tip that we're going to be able to use as we teach. But I want to remind all of you, man, this is the time for all of us to get into the Word of God. Get your copy of the U Bible Study Curriculum at lifeway.com/YOU. It is designed for us and written by us. It is available in paper and digital formats, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. All right, Brenda, go ahead and give us our teaching tip for today.
All right, you facilitators out there, listen. Let's get our learners into a weekly discussion. So after you finish this lesson, pose this question. What was the significance of the hyssop in verse Let's see, what verse? Which verse is that? Let's check it out. Which verse? 28 and 29. All right. Pose that question to your learners. What was the significance of the hyssop? Create a Google document that you all can share and have your learners to respond with their answers to that question and get a dialogue going throughout the week. Why is that important? First of all, it keeps the learners engaged in their Bible, right? It also keeps them thinking about the lesson that you facilitated on that Sunday. So that's, you know, conversation throughout the week. And then you're firing them up to continue the conversation on Sunday morning. So go ahead and get those learners engaged in a weekly discussion.
All right, so thank you very much. That's going to be a great teaching tip for a great lesson, one that we really need to talk about and to embrace in our own lives about the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. So thank you for joining us today, friends. We're so glad that you were able to be with us. Join us for our next You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.